So I would genuinely, sincerely say I'm more excited about what God is doing amongst us this year and over the coming years than I've been at any other part in the past. And this morning, I'm hoping I can take you all on that journey as to why I'm so excited, what I see God doing. And that's going to be kind of wrapped up in how we introduce this next vision series. And as Robin mentioned, it follows straight on from where last year's left off. If you've not heard that one, don't worry, it won't matter too much. But I'm just going to explain why I'm personally convinced that God is on the move in our church and God is on the move more broadly and why that's so exciting. And to start, I want to tell the brief story of a strategy day back in 2023. So the leadership team, we met up at Mike Holt's wonderful house. And at that point, we were a very new leadership team. For those of you been around, Adam had just about taken, even at that point, not quite taken over the baton of senior leadership from Kerry. And some of the more experienced leaders had stepped back, and Heike and I in particular were like a couple of months old in leadership years. And so we're a very green team. And we took that day to kind of set down foundations and agree and imagine the future together about what's possible. What in our mind, when you strip everything back, is church about? Those are the kind of questions we were asking to get all on the same page. What kind of community are we trying to build here? And obviously, you have to bear in mind, River's not a new church. It's not a plant. It's a church with a rich history that we obviously want to honor and roll with rather than split from. So how do we honor that, practically speaking? So looking back, I think I would use something like the word refresh for what we've done over the past year. I don't think there's been any kind of change of direction. I think there's really strong continuity with the past, but a slight refocusing on what the River Vision means for us with our current congregational family makeup, with the particular moment in time that we're in. What does the River Vision mean for us today? And we spent most of the day, that's probably dramatic, we spent a lot of the day thinking about River's founding passage, which is over here, wherever the river flows, everything will live. That's in Ezekiel. Wherever the river flows, everything will live. And then we kind of all agreed, I'd say, on the same core pillars of what makes River, River. And those were that it's a charismatic, that we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a community-focused church. It's for all ages, outward-looking, and that we are passionate about spiritual formation, which you can see on that blue banner over there, and the community ones there as well, which I mentioned. And the formation is something we inherited, I think, from what Kerry brought in and built into the church, and we're continuing to try to run with. And so as we prayed together, we were reminded of a passage in Genesis that we'd been talking and thinking through, which says something to the effect of a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and flowed into all the world. And this little verse helped us just to articulate what we wanted for our church to be. We wanted it to be a community where people are watered and then flow out. Kind of simple in a sense when you put it like that, right? And this was where last year's vision series came in. Some of you might remember it. We explored that passage about watering them flowing in quite a lot of detail over, I think it was about 6 weeks. And it continued across the whole year, I think, digging into that rough theme of, in particular, watering the garden. And I hope you'll see that this particular vision series this year is part two. It's season two, I should say, rather than like a new show altogether. And you've probably know this line by now, but we summed up the whole of that series with these words. We said, we are watered by the Spirit to grow more like Jesus, such that we cannot help but bring the life of Jesus where we live. So that was a sentence we kept coming back to across the year. And basically, it means we want River to be a community of people who are growing together to be more like Jesus. Robin articulated that beautifully earlier about what it means. It's about becoming more of a son of God and a daughter. That's the heart of discipleship. spiritual formation. If you're new to church and you hear that word, that's what that means. That's what we're talking about when we use words like that. It means learning to be more like Jesus. And alongside that, there's this other angle, isn't there, that we wanted to be watered by the Holy Spirit. We want to complement that rather than replace that with spiritual practice so that we're transformed and so that we bring the transforming power of the love and the life of Jesus in the places that we go and the places that we live. And so we kind of found this metaphor in Genesis. I was super happy with it. Like, I do an English degree, so I just love a metaphor. But we needed something more practical. So we worked on a model to bring it into the day-to-day life of the church, which, of course, you know these three words by now. They're on our yellow banner: be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do as Jesus did. We kind of shorthand it to be, become, do now. And I tell you, we felt really ahead of the curve with be, become, do. We spent a lot of time researching, and we had this real excitement when we found it. But now my relationship to be, become, do is kind of like when I was a teenager with my favorite band, they got big. I'm like, oh, we were into be, become, do before it was famous. Because a certain someone, who I won't name, wrote a very popular, no, it wasn't Jesus. It was John Mark Comer. a close second. But he wrote a book and then a podcast. And basically this idea of be, become, do has gone, like in Christian terms, viral across the world. I have an American colleague who's Christian. He mentioned to me the other day, so he's like, so you guys into be, become, do as well? And I was like, okay, wow, it's a pretty big deal everywhere then. So on the one hand, I have this feeling that I really liked it being our own little secret thing. But on the other hand, I've been really reminded of Emma Stark's word to us a few years ago. I think it's more like 6 or 7 years ago now, actually. But for those of you who weren't here, the thrust of it was that God is doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. Do you not see it? And I think my encouragement to us as a church is I think we did not miss it. I think we are in the midst now of the new. I think we crossed over, to use the language used on the day, because everywhere I look across the church, big picture, people are exploring spiritual formation, and it feels like that is what God is doing in our time. It's taking place in the places I would never have expected to see it. And I think what God's doing, to guess, because you never know the mind of God, but he's bringing together the contemplative and the charismatic into one. And there's this fresh commitment that I can see across my generation to sit at the feet of Jesus, to learn from him, to really try and follow the life that he modeled. So the church worldwide is finding like this fresh life in discipleship, which I think is incredibly exciting. And there's this part of me, as I said, that wants be, become, do to be our own little thing. And appreciate that's a bit greedy of me. But then there's this other part of me that sees what God's doing at the moment. And it's so exciting, I think, that as a church, we can say that we're a part of that, that we didn't miss it. In particular, because I'm convinced it is exactly what the world needs at this moment in history. Because, speaking of world now, whatever we're trying, I think it's fair to say, is not working. Our politicians and scientists and leaders and business people and all the other people, I think they're trying with all the best will in the world, but they're not managing to fix things. It's not to say the outlook's hopeless. It's instead to say that the world doesn't need more intelligent people. It doesn't need more powerful people. It doesn't need more incredibly, famous, smart, rich, whatever. These things aren't helping. It needs more deep, committed followers of Jesus. It needs people who choose to make that mean something in their life. It needs people who will commit themselves to love him and to learn from his life. That's what I think the world urgently needs. It needs for us as a church to take our discipleship to Jesus seriously, because I really do believe we are precisely what the world needs. And so the new series name, I wasn't quick enough with the name to have a slide ready for you, but the new series name is For the Sake of the World, which is getting to the sense that the world's in desperate need of people with spiritual depth to rise up. It needs spiritual heroes again. And I think one thing that I'd say is really different about, I grew up reading books like God's Generals, and some of you may know books like that, where it's all about singular people. Instead, I think for our generation, it's all of us in the room, not just a few. And I'm certain that our generation of spiritual heroes will be very different. I think clothed in humility and gentleness. I think what God is looking for is people who give of themselves rather than promote themselves. Because God, and the world especially, doesn't need more, I think, big egos is definitely a problem at the moment. He needs big hearts. God's looking for us to grow big hearts. But, and I think there is, if there's a prophetic edge to this talk, it would be this, that spiritual formation isn't the entire goal. The goal is to bring the life of Jesus to a dying world. I think that's the goal as Christians. That's our message. And I would say formation, discipleship, is part of how we do that. It's part of our route there. So fast forward to our strategy day, 2024. That was a couple of months ago, December. More organized than that. Yeah, December. So Heike, Beth, Adam, and I, we all came, I would say, in really firm agreement, which is really encouraging. And what we came in agreement is one of the things I'm most excited by right now. And I hope you are too as well. Which is that we see real spiritual transformation taking root across our church, and I would say a new way. And honestly, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this over the past few days, scrolled through the church WhatsApp group. Everyone I know in the church, even a smidge, I think it's really clear how God's working in your life at the moment. It's really evident to see how we're all taking steps to become more like Jesus in our life, which is so exciting. And as a church, I've heard so much feedback from people that people are finding joy in the disciplines. And I think something that maybe it's fair to say historically we found hard, we're now finding cultivating a rich inner life is bringing us so much joy. But every model and picture, every way we have of talking about our vision for the future had two parts, right? So it's water the garden on the one hand, and then flow out was the second part of that. You've kind of got be and become, which are in my head the first part, and then do as Jesus did is this second outward looking part. And I'd say last year, we focused in particular on watering the garden. So that was very much on purpose. It wasn't accidental, but I think you can really see across the year, there was this really clear thread of that as our emphasis. But this year, we want to really dig into what it means for us to water the garden and then to flow out into the world. We want to ask the question, how do we do that? How do we make it practicable? Drink. Because we believe that discipleship should infect every single area of our lives, that no part of who we are should be left untouched, whether that's, you know, within ourselves or outside of ourselves. But it's really hard to change, isn't it? My own personal experience of this week's my own annual review. I had that on Wednesday and Friday. And it's my 10th year of work now, so I've had just shy of 10 annual reviews, and probably oversharing with you all, but some of the feedback I've received, it's not the first time I've received that critical feedback. I've had it more than once in the past. And it's not to say that my attempts to fix some of my shortfallings aren't sincere. They, like, you know, you try really hard. It's just, it can be really hard to change things, isn't it? Sometimes that you've got can get a bit stuck. And flowing out, I would say, as Christians, choosing to be people that flow out rather than in, or giving of yourself rather than taking for yourself, I think is kind of trying to rewire your human nature. It's a really big thing. It's possibly the hardest change a human's able to make. It's definitely in the running for that kind of title, isn't it? And so what has become really clear to me is that without the Holy Spirit and without combining that with spiritual practice, you might find yourself how I felt in my review, which was, you know that you really do want to improve and change, but change is hard. So to go back to that kind of summary sentence I put together, if I were to go back to that, I think there's one thing I would change, which is slightly embarrassing because we've read it out a good 50 times, I'd say. But it goes, we're watered by the Spirit to grow more like Jesus, such that we can't help but bring life where we live. And I might rethink those words, such that we can't help but. Because I do think, and it's uncomfortable to admit, but I think it's possible for your inner life to stay inner. I don't think it's necessarily, definitely going to flow out. I think the basic idea behind this series is that it's not inevitable that your inward transformation will lead to a self-giving lifestyle. I think it does require a purposefulness, because I think flowing out means stepping out hard, because it requires courage. It requires a decision. In some ways, it requires training. So this isn't a talk to wag the finger or say that we're not doing something well enough. It's instead a talk that says, this is the journey we want to go on as a church. This is the kind of church that we want to continue building. We want to be the kind of church that trains and equips people to better live their lives as followers of Jesus. And then the question we're asking is, are you in it with us? Is that something you want to be a part of? And so I might rewrite that line from last year like this. We are watered by the Spirit to grow more like Jesus, so much so that we can always see what the Father is doing and have become the kind of person who chooses to join in. So we're watered by the Spirit to grow more like Jesus, so much so that we can see what the Father's doing and have become the kind of person who chooses to join in. So the question that then asks is, do you want to be that kind of person? Do you want to be the kind of person who chooses to join in with what you see the Father doing? Because I'll admit, I want to, but I'm not where I want to be yet. So it's a journey we need to go on together. And if we love Jesus, and if we follow him, then there is a degree to which I think it can be something like a catapult, which hurls you into greater obedience and willingness to do what we see the Father doing. But it's not out of withering fear or transformation that just happens overnight like that. It's instead born out of adoration and love for who Jesus is. Because you become like what you adore, I think. That's something that's really clear in Scripture. We worship God and become like him because of our love for him. So we take on the character and nature of that thing that we love. And we do that, as we've been exploring over the past few weeks, by spending time with Jesus. The disciplines, when you really simplify them back, are about making time and space in our lives and in our hearts for him. In River's language, it's about looking on the face of Christ and in doing that, becoming transformed. And there are just two consequences of that transformation that we're going to really be exploring over the coming weeks. The first is that as we grow deeper in our faith, we'll be more attuned to what God's doing and what the Holy Spirit's saying. Because Jesus said, in John, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And so we need to learn to hear God's voice and to recognize those signs that he is at work in a situation or in someone's life. And then we can start to get involved. And then the other consequence is that as you grow deeper, and your faith, you will be changed. And again, Jesus said it like this, you're the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So the more we grow like Jesus, it's as if that light starts to shine a little brighter. And that difference will stand out, and that difference will be really visible. And these two changes brought about by the Spirit and by spiritual practice go hand in hand. They don't compete, they complement, because the more we're transformed, the more we'll become the kind of people who want to do what they see the Father doing. The more we do what we see God doing, the more our life will be a bright, shining city on a hill. And so the two feed each other in that way. And across the rest of this series, we're going to start to articulate and to explore what this really means in our day-to-day life. We'll start by looking at some examples in the Bible with people who really modeled that for us. We'll then talk more specifically about what we mean as a church when we're talking about sharing our faith. What does that look like? We want a clear model that you can work with. And then from there, we're going to look at what happens when we flow outward, starting with our own lives, making sure that our inner and outer lives are aligned, and going back to a previous series that that promise of God that we feel on our lives, that we're following through with that, because that brings life to the world as well. And then looking out, we want to see how it impacts our friendships and our family relationships and our small groups, and how by becoming the kind of person who's self-giving, it transforms our relationship dynamics. Then we want to see how it would change our church if we all became the kind of people who bring the life and love of Jesus wherever we go. I think it would really transform the way we operate as a unit. And then finally, the last talk of the series, we'll be looking at how it will change our community. That's Maidenhead, that's different communities we're a part of. And then perhaps even beyond that, the kind of impact it could make to our nation and to the world. And to help us bridge the gap between watering our garden and then flowing out, we want to introduce more opportunities this year for everyone to practice living out what we believe. So we want church to be closer to a training ground than to a club, and that's going to require a few changes and some slight introduction of new things. Just a few examples, I guess, to help make that clearer. We want to be a church where we learn to hear God more clearly, so that when we're out and about, he can tell us what it is he wants to do. We want to learn to spot the signs that God's at work. What do those look like? It's easy to talk about, but it's harder to see them in practice. But once we get good at it, we can start to get involved. We want to make sure everyone in the church is trained to pray for the sick. There are no mysteries to it, in my mind, but we want to make sure you're confident and comfortable doing it, because we do believe that God heals, right? And the same goes for sharing your faith, or pastoral care, for building new relationships. Even things like that can get tough. Generally bringing the life of Jesus in your communities. How do we do that? Working together as a church to think practically about how we can do that in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So we're exploring different options, but I think we're currently working on some more practical workshops. Won't say too much about that, but we're looking forward to sharing more with you in the coming weeks. But just to finish up, I want to recap, Nate, might be a good time to come up, that I really do believe, and I think most of us can sense it, that God's doing something exciting at the moment. River's part of that. And we want to keep watering the garden. We want to do that more, not less this year. But we want to make sure we are building a deep inner life that results in flowing outward. We want, as a church community, to pioneer new ways of bridging the gap between our inner lives and flowing out. And just to finish, I want to read that summary sentence that I shared a few moments ago one last time, and just listen to it again, think it through, and then Nate's going to play a response song that you may not know, so please just feel free to sit and listen, and as you do, to let it wash over you. But to really take the question seriously as I read it. Is this something you want to be part of? Are you in? Are you interested? If so, we want to take it seriously. So that sentence was, we are watered by the Spirit to grow more like Jesus. So much so, we see what the Father's doing and have become the kind of person who chooses to join in.